727 takes us back in time with the completion of the national election in Israel to the time that there was General Ariel Sharon, who set across the Golan Heights to then dictator in Syria, Hafez Assad. Hey, it's a two-way road to Damascus. Boop! That froze everything right there. Can't do that any longer. Just too many other complicated scenarios unfolding in the Persian Gulf, in the Middle East. And now, as we focus on North Africa, as the Algerians immediately responded with overwhelming force to the hostage taking that took place at the natural gas production facility on the border with Mali. And clearly still looking for any hostage takers and hostages who may still be alive. On the line to discuss all of that, Dr. Daniel Pipes, who works to define and promote American interests in the Middle East and guard against Middle Eastern threats. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Curtis.
Now, with what has transpired, with the French aggressively coming to the aid of the Algerians and defending what actions they took against the hostage takers at that natural gas plant, and the French sending in their Mirage jets to blast Islamic strongholds in Mali, this really ratchets it up, but what can potentially the fallout from this be?
It could. It appears that suddenly North Africa is in play. It began with the rebellion against Muammar Gaddafi a couple of years ago, and then, of course, led by France, the United States, and other countries, got involved in ousting Gaddafi. And they did it rather, they did it with airplanes. There are no troops on the ground, which was seen as a great achievement, but no troops on the ground meant that there was no influence once Gaddafi was gone. And so there's been, to a certain extent, chaos in Libya itself, and perhaps even more important, arms have been leaving Libya, going to places like Gaza and Mali, and who knows where else, in substantial qualities and affecting developments. Now, in Mali, what's happened is that a weak central government lost control of the northern two-thirds, maybe even three-quarters, of the country. Desert country, very sparsely inhabited, huge area. And Islamist forces connected to Al-Qaeda, or similar to Al-Qaeda, have taken control of that. And the French decided about a week ago to intervene there. Now, I think the operation against the natural gas plant was planned long in advance. It was too large. I wouldn't call it terrorist. It was more like a military attack. It was apparently planned in advance, but once the French attacked, the Islamists, the radicals in Algeria, decided to make an attack on Algeria because the Algerian government allowed French overflights. It's pretty complicated. But out of all this, I know two things. First, that, as you point out, North Africa is in play, is now a danger area for not just France, but us, because they brought us into the picture, too. And secondly, for the first time in the last few years, the French sided against the Islamists. Everywhere else you look, Western powers, including the United States, have been supporting the Islamists, maybe not always intentionally. But whether in Tunisia or Libya or Egypt or Syria or Yemen, we've been on the side of the Islamists. Mali is the first place where a Western power has been against the Islamists. So perhaps, and that's what I think we should be doing, is fighting the Islamists, not supporting them.
Well, in fact, Dr. Daniel Pipes, in advance of Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton's testimony on the Hill today about what happened at our consulate in Benghazi on the night of 9/11, the New York Times is reporting that some of those Algerian attackers that you were just referring to are also having been placed at Benghazi as part of that attack on our consulate, which would suggest a greater sense of organization amongst these tribes, these bandits as they've been described, these independent sort of entrepreneurs who are ready to become Hessians, whoever is paying their next meal, a much, much greater degree of organization than we had given them credit for.
The thing is that the spaces are enormous. You could fit the whole United States there and have plenty of space to spare. And so there's an assumption that, you know, the space means that there's not much organization. But today, with electronics, with fast trucks and cars, you can cross that pretty quickly because there's no traffic, and it's not that surprising that tribal elements, that Islamist elements, that criminal elements are working together. So we face suddenly a problem, and it's a problem that's close to Europe. Libya is not far. Algeria is not far from Italy, from France, from Spain. And so the Europeans are getting alarmed in a way. They were not alarmed, say, when things were taking place in Afghanistan.
Now, Doctor, we have a situation where the United States allocated billions of dollars yesterday in military hardware to Egypt and its new president. Jets, tanks, mistake?
Yeah, terrible mistake. First, this deal was made under Mubarak. I don't think it was a great idea back then. I would have been against it then. But Congress approved it back then, 2 years ago. So Congress, which normally has a say, has no longer a say because it approved this. Now, circumstances have entirely changed in Egypt, and the Obama administration went ahead and delivered these, or began to deliver these weapons yesterday. Terrible, terrible mistake. Why are we arming the only substantial conventional military force that can fight Israel? Who else is this possibly directed against? Libya? Sudan? What are we doing? What a terrible mistake to send this to a government that's increasingly autocratic, increasingly anti-Israel, and increasingly anti-American.
Now, within days, we're going to see a hearing involving the examination of former U.S. Senator Chuck Hagel, Republican of Nebraska, as the designated replacement for Leon Panetta to head the Department of Defense. Chuck Hagel has been labeled as being anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, not Israel's best friend if he becomes the head of the Pentagon. True or not true?
It's a stunning appointment. Chuck Hagel has a completely undistinguished career. Name me anything he achieved in the Senate. Name me anything he's known for except being soft on Iran and hostile towards Israel. What achievements does he have? What administrative achievements? What foreign policy achievements? It is amazing that Obama would pick this man who's known only for these two things, soft on Iran and hostile towards Israel, as his Secretary of Defense. I think it sends a very clear signal.
Well, Chuck Schumer met with him, had a one-on-one meeting, said, hey, don't worry about it. Chuck's on board. Does that make you feel any better?
I go a long way back with Chuck to the 1960s. We were in school together. He's a good man in many ways, but he's not, shall we say, the most courageous. We were in school together at the time of the leftist communist effort to take over schools, and he didn't stand up to him. He was always in the middle, and he was head of the Young Democrats at the time in college, which just was irrelevant. He wasn't for him, he wasn't against him, and I see the same Chuck over 40 years later in this situation. He just sticks to the middle and doesn't stick his head up and doesn't get into trouble.
And then finally, Dr. Daniel Pipes, the election results in Israel, nowhere near the consensus that it was thought Bibi would have with Likud. And apparently we haven't paid a lot of attention, but just like we had here in the United States with Occupy Wall Street, demonstrations about jobs, the economy, growing debt and deficit, that played a major role in the election there, didn't it?
You're absolutely right. It's striking how the things that we're concerned about, Iran, the Palestinians, the Gaza war a couple months ago, played almost no role in this, or they weren't discussed. What was discussed, as you suggest, was the price of an apartment, the price of consumer items, and the like. It was very much internally focused and a lot to do with the economy. And as a result, the right-wing bloc lost relative to where it was a couple of days ago and is now weaker. And it appears likely that Netanyahu will ally with the left-wing bloc or elements of the left-wing bloc. So what I would expect is a government, although the right-wing has moved more right-wing, Netanyahu is likely to govern with a more left-wing Reliance.
Do appreciate that, Dr. Daniel Pipes. Up next, oh, what was that fender bender in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Rex Ryan. Was he at the casino there? A degenerate gambler?